Eric for coming and supporting the family. Thank you for my family. They're so wonderful. I keep saying that we're all born with an expiration date. We just don't know what that date is. And Mom had 92 years, and most of those years were all very healthy and wonderful. And I always called her the Energizer Bunny. She had breast cancer, and you know, just went through that like it was nothing. She had ascending, descending aortic aneurysm that was dissecting, and she went to surgery, and the next morning she was talking to me on the phone just like nothing had happened, and through everything. So we always expected that she would bounce back, because she always did before. She broke her hip in January, and you know, she was up and walking, and you know, so it was she was just a wonderful lady. She was a mom not only to me and my three brothers, but she was a mom to a lot of other people, a lot of people that called her mom, that and that meant a lot to her, just to know that people wanted to see her also as their mother. And she always gave, always was giving, and she didn't judge people. It was no matter what, she was always supporting everybody, even though she might have felt that that's not the right way to go. She was always there to support you. She she was just a wonderful person and a wonderful friend to a lot of people. And she liked to volunteer, and she did that in a big way. It's been good to live near her again for the last 10 years and be a big part of her life and go on cruises with her and just hang out. And we always got our nails done together. I would pick her up and we'd go get our nails done, and she was good to the end. She was just I didn't prepare anything. I just, things kept floating through my head, and I can't say enough about her. She was always there for me through everything. So
we'll now call upon Leslie's sister, Issa Galanti.
Leslie and I were really close. Being almost 12 years apart in age, I didn't know her well until I was an adult. She got married when I was 8 years old. But my mother sent me from Portland to Seattle every summer to stay with her for a while, which was wonderful because we did all kinds of things together, and I sort of grew up with my niece and my nephews. But once I was married, things changed. I was an adult and we became very good friends. When I was first married, I would go to the store and I'd call her up and I'd say, I don't know what to cook and I don't know what to do with this kind of meat. And she would tell me what you do with that particular cut of meat, and then I'd go back to the store and buy it. And that went on for a while, and then I took a couple cooking classes and got better at it. And then 8 years ago, after Jack passed away, decided She came for my grandson's bar mitzvah in Phoenix and decided this was where she was going to stay because all my friends were so welcoming to her. So she sold the house here and she came, and we lived in the same community about a mile apart, and did everything together. You know, everything locally. We belonged to the Shalom group. We were co-presidents of the Shalom group, which is our leisure world where we live, is our Jewish social group. And we traveled together. And one year we went to England and on a cruise around the British Isles. And our mother had been born in Dublin. And Leslie had the address of the house where she lived as a baby. And we went to that house. And unfortunately, it was a Saturday. But a cab driver took us, and he wouldn't go to the door. He wouldn't let us go to the door. And he went to the door, and he told these people that these ladies were in the car and that their mother had been born there. Well, they invited us in for tea, which was, it was so special. Of course, the house didn't look like it did in the early 1900s, but it was just really special. And we were right near the Jewish Community Center and everything, but being Saturday, it was all closed. So we couldn't do that, which was unfortunate because we wanted to. And so we spent a lot of time together, and then she was getting to where her health wasn't so good. And every time she was in the hospital, she came and stayed with Ira and I for a week or two till she was ready to go back to her house. And I knew she was getting to the point where she needed assisted living. And I said to her, and she wouldn't go, of course. And I said, what if you sold your house and I sold my house and we got a bigger house? So we did, and last July, a year ago, we moved into our house, and the three of us. And we remodeled things so that she'd have her own bathroom, and so it's a 2 bedrooms and a den, this house, but it has 4 bathrooms now. And it's comfortable, it's big. And, you know, things were good until January when she broke her hip, but she still was good until things started to go down as spring came, and when early June when she ended up in the hospital and couldn't be without oxygen after that. So for the last couple of months, she was on oxygen all the time. We had some good times together, and the interesting thing in the last year, we'd go shopping, and people would come up to us, people we did not know, and they'd say, are you sisters? And we had people say, are you twins? And she's almost 12 years older than me. And I thought, do I look old or does she look young? You know, I didn't know. It was, sometimes it was, seemed insulting to me, but that's, I guess we looked enough alike that, and strangers, I couldn't believe that strangers came out of the blue and go up to people and ask that. I would never go up to a stranger and ask them something like that. I mean, would you? Would any? I just, it was, and it happened a number of times. It was very strange. But we were very good friends. I loved her a lot, and I'm going to miss her so much. The last few months, you know, she couldn't do anything to help around the house, and she wanted to. And so one day I made cookies, and I had her sit at the table and put the cookie dough on the cookie sheets, and because I wanted her to feel that she could help and be involved. And so she did this, and even up toward the very end, she was, you know, upset that she couldn't do anything. And so seeing she was my only sibling, be good to your siblings, be good to your friends, be kind. And I will miss her for a very, very long time, forever, till I'm with her again. Thank you so much for coming. And we are having, I've got little cards, reception at the Embassy Suites in Bellevue in Eastgate area after we leave here. And I have little cards with the address if anybody needs it. And that's And I have to tell you, it's freezing cold here, because when you live in Arizona, I am really cold, and that's why I'm so shaky, because 110 to me is nothing, and it's cold here.
Any other members of the family who would like to speak? Or anyone, any friends? Please, Lauren.
So I did get up at 5 in the morning and write some things out. And there's a lot of pages here, but that's because it's in like size 23 font. So, all right. So today we're gathered here to celebrate the life of my grandma, a woman who lived 92 remarkable years and made every one of them count. When I think about her, the first thing that comes to mind is about how deeply she cared for other people. She had one of the most generous and giving hearts I've ever known. She never thought, never sought recognition for herself, and found endless joy in lifting up other people around her. Nothing made her prouder than her family and celebrating every accomplishment, no matter how big or small. Whether it was a graduation, a new job, a birthday, or simply hearing that one of her grandkids or great-grandkids had done something worth smiling about, she wanted to know it. If you didn't tell her, she let you know. And once you knew, you could count on her to celebrate it right alongside you. She made each one of us feel seen, valued, and loved. When my wife and I talk about Grandma, the theme always comes up is her social calendar. To put it simply, she could run absolute laps around us in the social scene. She was a social creature who would always be on the move, always be wanting to go places, always be looking to do something. One of my core memories as a kid is when we go on these morning walks in Bellevue Square. Grandma is always making friends. We go on walks and make friends with the guys that were opening the Sbarro pizza stand. Right before the mall got busy, we'd be walking by, they would exchange waves and smiles. And that's just who she was. She could strike up a conversation with anybody and leave them feeling like they had known her for years. Even into her later years, she was always on the move, wanting to go places, experience new things, and make the most out of every day. She loved keeping up with her grandkids, cheering on the Seahawks, and getting out to watch the Blue Angels fly overhead. She approached life with an energy and curiosity that made many of us could only hope to match. There are two sayings that always remind me of Grandma. The first one was simple. She was humble, but had a servant's heart. She showed love through kindness and generosity and quiet acts of service. She made life better for people around her without ever asking for anything in return. The second might seem a little unconventional, but if you know our family, you'll understand. When life threw her curveballs, and there are many of them, she did the exact opposite of what the Mariners are currently doing. She'd take out that rye bread and mustard because it was grand salami time. No matter the challenges that came her way, she found a way through them. She faced adversity with resilience and determination, sense of humor, and didn't let hardships define her, and she kept moving forward. That resilience combined with her compassion is a part of the legacy that she's leaving behind. Grandma taught us that the most meaningful life isn't measured in what we accumulate, but how we love people. She showed us that celebrating others costs nothing, but means everything. She reminds us that making a new friend is always worth effort. There's always another adventure waiting. And that even when life gets hard, you keep going. We'll miss her deeply. We'll miss her encouragement, her excitement over family milestones, for conversations, for laughter, and the way that she made everyone feel welcome. But we are also incredibly grateful. Grateful for the 92 years of life well lived, grateful for the example that she set, and grateful for so much of who she was lives on in our family. And lastly, as of right now, I actually think that Grandma is still organizing her social calendar from above, because as it turns out, the Blue Angels are actually in town today. As we drive home later today and look up at the sky, we'll probably hear a familiar roar. And when you do, just think of Grandma, picturing her looking up with that big smile on her back deck. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the family or friends who want to say some words? So we're here to eulogize and remember our dear Leslie Galante Butte-Marie. Leslie is survived by her daughter Shelley and son-in-law Tony Meter, her sister Nisa Galante and her brother-in-law Ira Leibowitz, grandchildren Lauren Meter, Josh Meter, Matthew Galante, Jared Galante, and Rachel Jones, and five great-grandchildren. King Solomon wrote in the book of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, Tov Shem Min Shemen Tov, a good name is superior to good oil. The rabbis cite a number of ways in which a good name is better than good fragrant oil. Good oil runs downhill. A good name goes up, increasing in grandeur and in stature. Good oil lasts temporarily. A good name is forever. Good oil is bought. A good name is acquired for free. Good oil is used only in this life, and a good name connects to a person in life and in death. Good oil is used only by the wealthy. A good name by the wealthy and the impoverished. The fragrance of good oil travels from one room to the adjacent room. A good reputation travels to the ends of the earth. In her lifetime, Leslie Galante acquired a Shem Tov. Her reputation for protecting those in need, giving of herself to valuable causes, accepting others, and persevering through hardships was known and continues to exist and will not be forgotten even past her death. Leslie Galante was born in 1934 in Portland, Oregon, to Morris and Maury Leighton. Her sister Nisa was born 11 years later. After high school, Leslie attended University of Washington for 1 year. After that year of study, during a summer visit to the then popular resort town of Soap Lake, Leslie's mother and future mother-in-law conspired to introduce her to Jack Galante. Leslie and Jack were married in June 1953. Leslie's sister Nisa would subsequently marry Jack's brother, David, making their respective children double cousins. Jack and Leslie raised their family in Bellevue, as you heard, and they had four children, Mark, Shelley, Mitchell, and Lauren. Leslie began a career when her children were school-aged. She first worked at Brenner's Brothers Bakery, running the deli. Other jobs included working for a phone technology company and a medical monitoring outfit. During this time, Leslie also sold cakes, which she decorated, also preparing cakes for special family occasions. In 1982, Jack and Leslie's youngest child, Lauren, died in a devastating car crash. He was only 17. The Torah teaches that our patriarch Jacob was led to believe that his son Joseph had died suddenly, also when Joseph was at the tender age of 17. The Torah relates and says, Jacob tore his clothes, donned sackcloth, and observed mourning for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters sought to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, saying, No, I will go down mourning to my son in the grave. Thus his father wept for him. The loss of a child creates a fracture not easily closed. But Leslie, together with Jack, found healing through tzedakah, through giving. They invested themselves and their resources into their family and into charitable organizations of purpose and of meaning. Jack and Leslie began to attend synagogue at that time regularly, Herzl Ner Tamid on Friday nights, and Jack's childhood kehilah, Ezra Besarot, on Saturday, on Shabbat morning. Attending Ezra Besarot was likely difficult at the beginning. Leslie was raised in an Ashkenazic home, and Ezra Besarot is very Sephardic, for those of you who have been there. Furthermore, she was coping with the loss of her son. But it was in that same period that Leslie began to volunteer for the Ezra Besarot Ladies Auxiliary, learning to bake Sephardic delicacies. Jack also attended baking days, and he became a regular. Leslie soon became Ladies Auxiliary President. Her picture is on the wall there in Ezra Besarot, and was awarded with Ezra Besarot Woman of the Year. In the early 1990s, when their grandsons Lauren, who was named for his uncle, and Josh were old enough, Leslie and Jack would regularly bring them to Kahal on Shabbat morning. I remember well the boys coming to synagogue and sitting with their grandfather and their grandmother, and I recall the bond between Jack and Leslie and the boys being like parents and children. In that period of time, Ezra Besarot did not have many children attending on Shabbat and did not have a viable youth program or even a Shabbat program for kids. Lauren and Josh may have been the only regularly attending children. At least partially in response to their consistent attendance, EB relaunched its youth program under the direction of those superstars, now superstars, and they were superstars then, Mora Leah Hannon and Mora Naomi Solom. Leslie lived through the loss of her two remaining sons, Mitchell and Mark. Jack passed away in 2010. As you heard, Leslie beat cancer and survived an aneurysm. Leslie persevered. Hadassah and City of Hope were also recipients of Leslie's support. Late in her life, Leslie had the honor of being a flower girl at her grandson Lauren and granddaughter-in-law Savannah's wedding. She was also a huge Seahawks fan. During Leslie's health challenges, Shelley doggedly advocated for her mom and took care of her needs. She continued to live and be well, Shelley. Early in her life, Leslie took care of her sister Nisa like a mother. At the end of her life, Leslie was the recipient of Nisa's care. She live and be well, Nisa. Let us all take a lesson from Leslie about the power of a good name, a Shem Tov. Show up fully for the people around you and seek opportunities to build community quietly and consistently with acceptance and perseverance. May her memory be for a blessing. Tehei nishmatah tzurura b'tzur hachayim.